We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe. This week's guest is Jeff Ganger. Did I say that right? Ganger?
It's Ganger.
Ganger? Wow.
But okay. You can use anything else too.
Ganger.
I'm used to it. It can be anything.
Well, I got it right. So this week's guest is Jeff Ganger. Jeff started out his career as a masonry laborer at Notre Dame, Indiana, and has held many jobs since then, including mechanic, parts consultant, bagel sandwich artist, TV host, library assistant, graphic designer, art director, outside sales rep, director of business development, and co-founder of three startups in Milwaukee. He is currently a marketing manager for Glorioso's Italian Market and is the owner of Non-Affiliated, a small ceramic studio that makes decorative art for homes as well as unique handmade dinnerware. He is also a co-host of the Catalyst Social Hour podcast, which brings guests together to discuss design, tech, and entrepreneurship. Jeff lives in Wauwatosa with his family and couldn't be happier with his decision to move to Milwaukee. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Lori.
I am excited because with your diverse background, I'm sure you've got a lot of great networking stories to share.
Yeah. I probably have a lot of networking failure stories I could share that were super embarrassing and a little humiliating, but that's fine. That's how you learn over time.
Absolutely.
And then over time you become mostly bulletproof to most of the pitfalls of
sure.
Social interaction.
Yeah. Right? So I don't like to call them failures. I like to call them lessons, right? As you said, they're learning opportunities.
I used to say results.
Okay. Like,
there's no failure. It's just results.
Yeah.
You tried something, here are the results.
Something happened.
Right?
Yeah. Positive or negative.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It worked. It didn't work. But they're just results.
Yeah.
Just the result of your actions, I guess.
Good perspective there.
Yeah.
I like that. So do you get nervous at networking events? And if so, how do you deal with that?
I don't anymore. I used to.
Okay.
Because I put pressure on myself. And now I don't. Because mostly I don't put pressure on myself, which sounds really simple. But I think the turning point was once I was in a sales training class with the founder of the company I was working for. And it was, you know, we were just going through some sales routines. And we were just kind of polishing up our scripts and just talking about, you know, interacting with customers and getting the information right and being engaging. And we're getting ready to leave. We're all going to go out on our sales calls. And he asks everybody, all right, so what are you guys going to do tonight? And everybody's like, yeah, we're going to get a sale. We're going to do this, do that. And he says, no, your goal is just to make a friend tonight. And I thought, wow, that kind of took the pressure off,
mm-hmm.
right? It just kind of refocused things. And so secretly, like, that's my goal now when I go to networking events. It's just like, hey, make a friend.
Yeah.
You know? And now the pressure's off, so I don't get nervous.
Instead of try to close a big deal right away.
Close a deal. Get as many cards as you can. You're gonna, I'm going to shake 20 hands tonight. You know, that kind of goal setting for me, I realized actually – how do I say this? It sabotages my chance and my opportunities to connect, make a real lasting connection with one person. Instead, you're living in the world of measurement, which measuring's great, right? But when you're getting into a room with a bunch of people, you have to throw that aside
mm-hmm.
and really focus on being attentive, being present. And you know, usually when I do that, magic happens because I'm noticing something or I say, oh, yeah, hey, that's a great shirt you're wearing. And then the next thing you know, you're hitting it off and you find that you have some kind of mutual connection or,
yeah,
you know, you have something in common. So, yeah, no
Good.
Pressure anymore.
Yeah, I like that approach. You're just trying to find a new friend.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you should be walking into a room that's already strategic for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you shouldn't be going, you know, let's say you are a security systems integrator and you're looking for clients. You shouldn't be going to a group of other security systems providers unless you're just looking to, you know, get some business information or something. But, you know, you really should be looking for your potential clients, people that have a need for what it is that you're providing. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So as a marketer yourself, who is your favorite marketer?
Oh, Seth Godin.
Why is that?
You know why? I think it's because his philosophy dovetails really well with mine, which is you should be more interested in making a real genuine connection with somebody and stop worrying about tactics, stop worrying about strategies. Because just checking off the list doesn't cut it. If you really look inward and you're passionate about what you do, it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
It shows. And then what happens is people realize that and they notice it. They notice your passion. And you end up attracting the people that are attracted to what you're into. And so that sort of creative thinking and that inward-based approach is not only natural, but it's you typically end up with a group of people that are really passionate. And I think a small group of passionate people is worth more than a really huge group of people that are barely interested or just barely tolerate you.
I agree with that, you know? 100%.
So I think just his outlook, his philosophy on things, his strategies are really, I just find them to be really, not only refreshing, but I just think that they, deep down, they ring true for me. I don't know if they're true for everybody else, mm-hmm. but, you know.
So have you met him yet?
No.
Is he on your bucket list of people to meet?
Is there something wrong with me that I don't have a bucket list of people that I want to meet?
No, don't think so. I mean, there's like nice to meet people in my minds, but
okay.
I don't know. Just some people I have like, I need to meet this person, and others are.
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens.
I think I'd love to meet him just because he's definitely made an impact on how I market myself. Or actually, he made a deeper impact on how I conduct my business, okay, mm-hmm. just as a person. I'm going to create a bucket list today and I'm going to put them on it.
That's great.
And then maybe I'll run into Gary Vee at the airport. That would also be really fun just because I want to hear his potty mouth.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely on my top as well. All right. So Milwaukee is definitely known for its foodie scene, at least to local Milwaukeeans, not quite outside of that space. But and you're definitely in that space a little bit as well. What's your favorite Milwaukee restaurant?
Right now, I'm going to say Asian fusion.
Oh.
Fusion cuisine.
Okay.
It's out on Greenfield and Highway 100. I think it's called Fusion Cafe. That's the name of it. Fusion Cafe. Every time I walk in there, I order something else, and every time it's a home run. It's unbelievable. Like, it doesn't matter. I just order whatever. Yeah, sure, I'll have the taco sue octopus appetizer, and it comes out and it's great. Singapore noodles, awesome. Kimchi soup, yeah, why not? Delicious. Best soup I've ever had, probably.
Nice.
And the woman that runs it is just really sweet. She's really, really nice. And I feel like I go in there and it's many times it's not full.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. There's a few tables.
Okay.
And I just feel like, man, this is such a gem. So I had to say something about it.
Yeah.
Being the marketer that I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I've never heard of it before, but now I'm really intrigued.
Yeah.
So.
Fusion Cafe. So yeah, I had a friend who once said, hey, you should check this out. My dad's from Hong Kong. He loves going over there. He loves their noodles. He loves all this stuff. They also have a little bakery.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, you check it out. You love it. I go over there and yeah, sure enough, it's just really one of the best places I've had.
All right, Milwaukee. You heard it right here on Social Capital. Fusion Cafe on Highway 100 in Greenfield. Check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I hope she gets
some business
out of that.
That was the first official commercial that we've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Social Capital.
I feel like every time I go in there, this lady's so sweet. I feel like not only am I paying for this, but I feel like she's giving me more than I'm paying.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what I mean? Yep. Like, I'm getting more. I'm getting a bargain.
Well, you're paying it forward now.
I'm trying to pay her back.
Good. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely check it out and I'll report back.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so let's dive into some networking even further here. My goal with this podcast is to alleviate some of that fear that some people have with networking.
Yeah.
So I ask my guests, and I'm asking you this, Jeff, if you can share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience or story that you've had.
Well, I have two. I'll tell one because it's personal and it meant a lot to me. And I think it is, I think it's a great example of just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an agency in town called Sprinklr,
mm-hmm.
like a few years back, and they were kind of innovative. They gave college students and recent grads like real world design projects that they could work on to kind of get their legs under them mm-hmm. before they, you know, went into the big bad agency world. And so they had these meetups all the time, once a month, and they started off kind of small, but then, you know, by 2012, there was like 100, 150 people showing up at these things. There was music, transfer pizza was always there. And so it was like a thing. And then I think Steve Glenn bowed out, and I think over time Sprinklr moved on to other things. Uh-huh. And Sprinklr's no more, and so then the meetups, of course, disappeared. So Steve says, "Hey, let's get the gang back together for a Sprinklr reunion." This was last year,
mm-hmm.
and it was at 88.9, and the mayor was there, and Treek was there, you know. And so I showed up, and there were a lot of like old friends and new colleagues that I've met that mm-hmm. were showed up there. So we had a good time. It was nice, music, food, and it was great. So at the end of the night, I walk out and Erica Conway mm-hmm. is outside.
She's been on the show before.
The mayor of Milwaukee, the creative mayor of Milwaukee is what I call her, because she's everywhere.
I love it. Creative mayor of Milwaukee.
Yeah, or something. I have to come up with something maybe more snappy, but she's literally like the mayor. Like, she knows everybody. She's super great. She's at every event. She's always high energy.
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up stopping me and she's like, "Listen, I really like the way you're living your life. Da 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 da." And she starts in and she goes on and on. And I'm like, wow, this is super perceptive. And she was telling me this during a time when I was going through this transition.
Okay.
So essentially I walked away feeling like she validated all of the things I had in my mind.
Cool.
That maybe weren't out there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that connection led to me taking her lunch, because she said all these nice things about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Hey, this is a thank you." And then she looked at my resume, and then she had me work on my resume. She's like, "This isn't you, all right?"
Mm-hmm.
And so that ended up leading me to get the position that I have right now.
Cool.
So in a way, like, I feel like I owe Erica a lot of money because she got me this great gig.
Yeah.
I mean, she'd say, "Oh, I didn't have anything to do with it," right? Because that's Erica.
Uh-huh.
But that's the value of Erica Conway, I think, is that everybody that she touches, in some way, she helps.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Anyway, which is awesome.
So that's my networking story. Yeah. I just showed up and I wasn't looking for anything in particular, but it sparked something, which then led to another connection, which then led to another thing and another thing.
And that's what I love about networking.
Yeah.
Is you never know.
You never know. You never know.
But you put yourself in a room with like-minded individuals mm-hmm. who you know, like, and trust.
Right.
And then that just happens.
Right. Right.
Very cool.
I had a networking thing, like, it was a one-on-one with somebody at a coffee shop, and that led to me being a co-founder of a company here in town once, because it was casual coffee. That wasn't the point, you know, but it led to this other thing. So
great minds work well together.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in just talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah.
So you're background has put you in front of probably a lot of different faces and a diverse group of people. So your network's probably fairly extensive. Mm. What do you do to stay in front of and nurture your network?
Okay. I do two things. The first thing I do is I co-host a podcast, the Catalyst Social Hour podcast. So what that does is that enables me to continue to keep in touch and really strengthen those bonds that I already have with people.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing it does is it brings new people into the circle, right? So there are obvious benefits there. So that's one thing I do. The second thing I do is I write a weekly email dispatch, I guess, for lack of a better term, that is essentially a collection of observations or things that I've discovered for the week. And the list is small. It's a small group of people, but they're all, I guess I would consider them to be not only colleagues or supporters, but they're also innovators. They're original thinkers. They're not afraid to live outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing I do. So I actually, as a, somebody who's in marketing, I don't think my network is as deep as many people might think, but it's a great network. They're really great people.
Quality over quantity, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of quality there. And I thought I was doing it wrong for a long, long time. And then I read this book called Networking is Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise of the book is to start really small and develop valuable and strategic connections with people and nurture that. And it naturally gets bigger. And then at the same time, I was also reading a Malcolm Gladwell book, and he's talking about different personality types. And there's one guy who knows like thousands of people, and you don't need to know thousands of people. Mm-hmm. You just need to know that guy.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
that's the hubs and spokes.
Yeah, philosophy. Right. The hubs and spokes.
Know the hubs, not the spokes.
Yes. Know the hubs and not the spokes. Exactly. Exactly. So you knew where I was going with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that, again, that kind of, that's more my philosophy, yeah, I think.
That's smart.
Yeah. Cause it's tough to keep up with like hundreds of people.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Cause it's so much easier to connect with people. Mm-hmm. But that makes it even harder to stay connected to them.
Yeah, it does.
So what advice would you offer that business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Actually connect with the hubs, not the spokes. But I'd also say don't put a ton of pressure on yourself. I would start small. I would start with the people that have a similar passion. I would start with people that have a real need, and just start with one, because one is a lot easier to deal with than 1,000. I mean, if you're starting a business or you're running a business, you know how much you need to make. If you know how much you need to make and you know what your closing rate is as a salesperson, or you have an idea of what that is. Hey, every 5 people I talk to, one person buys my whatever service or product.
Yep.
So if you know how much you need every month, right, and you kind of know your closing rate, you know how many people you need to talk to.
Yep.
But that can be daunting, especially in the beginning. So, man, it's so tough. It's so difficult to try to not focus on blah. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get the word out there to as many people as possible. And I think in some regards, you have to relent to that. Mm-hmm. There's a trade-off. Like you really do have to be great at talking to a lot of people, and you have to be okay with that. You have to actually really like people.
Yeah.
And be curious about them.
Curiosity is definitely the key.
If you don't have that, that's okay. You have to find somebody that does and then pay them, you know, a commission. But I would say, but the network, man, the network, the pressure's off if you start small and committed and be really strategic. And in a way, like, I know that you're a HubSpot practitioner, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I mean, that's not really too different from the fact that they always focus on target as small as possible. Like,
yep,
really find that deep niche and talk to them, because those are the people that have the need.
Yep.
And if you talk to enough of those people that really have the need, you're spending your time wisely, and you'll end up winning. So
nice. Yeah. I like that too. Be committed.
Yeah.
I think that's powerful.
Yeah. You have to be committed. Yeah. Right.
Good.
And show up and be consistent.
Consistency, presence, commitment. Seems like a lot of work.
It does. I know. Just go back to your regular job. Just go get a paycheck somewhere. Right. It's a lot easier.
All right. So digital networking or traditional networking? Jeff, which one do you find more value in?
Man, there still isn't anything. At least I don't think so. I really don't think there's a substitute for what happens when you're in a room with somebody else face to face. Honestly, like that's where the real value is. And truly, I can say that the clients that I had when I had a design business, almost all of them were personal referrals or face to face. Almost every single one.
Yep.
It's so, at the same time, digital is so valuable. I think you utilize them both, and I think you utilize them differently. But ultimately, if I had a choice, it would be going face to face.
Which is interesting that you say that, because you say the way that you're nurturing your network is by podcasts and emails.
Yeah, right.
Which is digital.
Yeah, they're tools.
Yeah.
You know, they're tools. But you're right. I mean, at this point right now, I don't go out and actively network face to face, but I do invite people to the podcast. And many times we invite people to transfer during the podcast. So sometimes it's live. We got a little audience going in the background.
Yeah.
And it's just our little group.
Cool.
You know, so you're kind of inviting people to an experience, because I think, and you hear people say that all the time. Like, you hear a lot about experiential marketing and that people are seeking out positive experiences. And I do have this weird blend of both. So, you know, even though I have the podcast, we try to invite people to transfer to show up and have a good time.
Yeah.
And on the same token, you know, on the email list, I have in the past just said, hey, you know what, every Thursday I have a cooler of beer on my rear deck of my house. So you can stop by and just talk and hang out.
Yeah.
And it's a happy hour for 2 hours or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
So I've done that in the past. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the reasons I work at Gloriosos is that people don't go there for crackers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go there because they want to have an experience.
Yep, yep.
And so I'm always drawn to places that have that really different, positive, you know, rich environment, rich vibe.
Okay. So nice. So you're leveraging the tools to push people to that in-person experience.
Yeah. Basically.
Got it.
I do like to have a party. I don't go to parties, but I like to throw them.
You're an entertainer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Okay. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Oh, right. Wow. So I would say, if I went back to my 20-year-old self, I'd say, hey, kid, there's going to be the hugest land grab or revolution in the history of humanity. And so you need to understand that if you just have a few hundred bucks, you can connect with a billion people. So you need to figure out what it is that you're going to try to do to change the world just a little bit and get to work. That's probably the first thing I would say. Like, I'm from the future and I could talk to anybody in the world on my phone on video. So that's the first thing I would say. And the second thing I would say would be, don't waste your time. Figure out who you are and spend less than you make and invest the difference wisely. Meaning, go to South by Southwest in like 2008 and invest in Twitter or something, you know. But yeah, I mean, That brings up a lot of interesting things because you start to think about what you were doing in your 20s. And I was just trying to figure things out, man.
I think we all were.
I was pretty lost. So, you know, even at that time, though, if somebody had just said, hey, you know, the odds of you becoming a human being were real long. And so now you kind of won the lottery already. So figure out what you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, I know Gary Vee says this all the time, like, it doesn't matter. Your life is real long. You could mess everything up and, you know, you could be 30 and be homeless and you can still like make it. Mm-hmm. And I get that.
Yep.
And that's very powerful.
Yep.
But I feel like I could have used my time more wisely when I was in my 20s.
Yep. I would second that for myself.
Yeah.
I didn't know you in your 20s. So, but I think your response is quite profound, actually. Like, how would you change the world a little bit and kind of figure out what you stand for and go all in with that?
Yeah, because I mean, this is super powerful. I mean, and you still can right now. I mean, this is what I tell my kids. So in a way, I am kind of telling myself because he's 14. And so I sat down with him and I'm like, listen, most people don't realize that right now they're in the middle of like this huge revolution. It's amazing what's going on.
Yep.
Literally amazing. Like your classmates, you know, when you were in fifth grade, your parents would have, their parents would have never allowed them to get into a car with a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And now, hey, everybody wants to get a Lyft or an Uber.
Yeah.
So basically I was just telling them that. I'm like, look, you have the power to connect with like a billion people, literally, with this thing in your pocket. So like, don't feel like you have to do what your teachers say and go down this career track and go to college and do what everybody tells you to do. If you see that there's a way in which you have the power to change the tide of that and to do your thing.
Yep.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, cool.
So anyway, that's what I tell them because it's easy to forget. It's easy to, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's easy to just look at your phone and say, oh my God, this text is taking 7 seconds to get to where it needs to be. This thing is terrible. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You get frustrated when
you
see the little rotating circle on the YouTube video. You're like, what is taking so long?
Don't
for
remember
this thing
the
to load?
Dial-up sounds?
Yeah, God, no. Exactly. So it's easy to forget, right? That this thing is like this miracle. And so I'm still struggling with like, well, how do I utilize it? You know, what's my thing and how am I using it to just share?
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good of you to kind of encourage the next generation to start thinking about this now.
Yeah, I'm really trying to, you know what I'm trying to do with him? I'm trying to give him all the advice that I didn't get because I just didn't have a group of adult mentors that was, except for my mom, which is, she was a huge influence, but there just weren't a plethora of older people that were getting it right when I was growing up. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get ahead of that and just say, hey kid, this is all the stuff that I've learned. And you know, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just telling you to be aware of all the stuff that's happening and the stuff that you can do with it.
Digest it and sit on it and maybe do something with it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be real hands off because, I mean, you know, in his world, every adult tells him what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
In school. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious what book my guests are reading. So what's on your nightstand?
Okay. I have two. One of them is, I'm not going to say it's slightly embarrassing because it doesn't matter. So one of them is Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point, because I never read it. And so it's always been on my list. So that's one of them, Hubs and Spokes. And the other one is, it's called The Art of Possibility by Benjamin Zander, I believe, and Rosalie. I think it was a husband and wife team that they teamed up and wrote this book called The Art of Possibility, which is a really powerful book.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of those, but.
I think I've heard of both of them. I have not read either of them.
Okay. Okay.
I have a lot of books that I keep acquiring because they sound interesting, especially because I asked this question like, oh, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I haven't. Got quite gotten through them very quickly.
No, I get it. I have a stack too. I also have a stag. So that's, it's whatever. You feel like a little embarrassed by it, but at the same time, hey, at least you're interested enough to get the book.
Yeah, I agree. I just read an article on, I think it was Inc. Magazine published about individuals that have a bunch of books surrounded by them, but they haven't read them all. And just there's some, in a way, they're inspiring just to read the title, like, oh, yeah, you know, The Big Leap. Okay, this sounds good. I'm going to move forward. And, you know, it just kind of motivates you to be around all these great writings.
That's amazing. That's kind of like, it's almost like the internet way of reading. We're just like, I read the back cover.
Yeah, I skimmed it.
And I got a paragraph. That's all I need to know really for now. That's great. I'll go back to it later.
I understand the concept here. Yep.
Yeah, I bookmarked it. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
So Art of Possibility is really great. There are a number of lessons in there that it's essentially a husband and wife that are saying, hey, here's all the things that we've learned in our life. And one of the things that they talk about, I'll just go into this really quick because I think it's interesting, is this idea that it's all constructed, okay? So reality in a way is constructed, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think of growing up, if you think of actually, let's go back further and say throughout the history of the planet, you know, you start, let's just start with cave dwellers, right? That was their reality. And now our reality is quite different from theirs, but it's all constructed.
Yep.
Okay. So that means you're taking in things with your senses, but your brain is the one that's processing things. So your brain is deriving meaning from your senses, right?
Okay.
And so your brain is the filter. So it's constructed. And so what they're saying is, if it's all constructed anyway, why don't you construct it in your favor? Right. So I found that was really interesting. And so this gentleman was, I think he was a conductor for the Boston Philharmonic. I might be wrong about that. But anyway, he's a conductor. And he would always tell his students, he would say at the beginning of the semester, give yourself an A. I want you to give yourself an A. You don't have to tell me how good you are, because he's talking about, again, living in the world of measurement. Mm-hmm. Where you walk in and you're already in your mind, you have a gauge of where you're at with things, right? And you're probably really brutally, you may be brutally honest, you may be delusional, but you have a gauge in your mind. And what he's saying is he's wiping out the gauge. And he's like, just give yourself an A and then write a letter that says how you got the A and what it did to change your life. Okay.
Cool.
And so that takes all the pressure off of students coming in, and then they can just feel free to be themselves and to play with more passion or try new things or to be more creative in their approaches. And so so now I walk around, and that's in the back of my mind, like, hey, you know, give yourself an A, and then the pressure's off a little bit. You can open yourself up a little bit to creativity, right? So I think that anyway, it's a really powerful book, because if it's all constructed anyway, what does it matter?
Yeah.
If it's all constructed anyway, why are you giving yourself an F?
Yeah. Interesting.
Just give yourself an A.
Yeah.
And then over time, if you continue to give yourself an A, you're going to start behaving in ways in which an A student would behave.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets you there.
Yeah. Right? That's so interesting. I like that philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, yeah, me too.
I say that because I teach at UW Milwaukee, and I'm like,
okay.
And the semester's coming up soon, so I kind of want to try this and see, like, a little social experiment and see how it pans out.
Yeah, that would be super interesting. And now I'm curious. I want to know how it turns out.
I'm gonna do it. All right, Jeff. Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Oh man, have a good time. Have a good time. Surround yourself with good people. You know in the back of your mind who the people are too, you know, the givers or the exchangers or the people that often give you a lot of value, or maybe just being in a room of people who are better than you.
Yep.
I guess that's, for lack of a better term. But I, you know, ultimately, the value is just in showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you show up, the more people you meet. And this sounds really simple, but it's hard to do in practice because you just want to get in the car and go home because you're governed by your routines.
Yep.
So just get out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get out there, show up, and then continue to like find your thing, whatever, like, I don't know if they're Instagram posts or if it's emails or if it's having a party every month mm-hmm. or a meetup or, you know, you have to figure out what your medium is. But whatever that is, it's like nurture that group, nurture that group of small, committed, daring people, because ultimately I think it leads to really great places.
I love that. One of the things I am taking away from this conversation actually is as opposed to calling it a formal meetup, is have a party. Why not?
Yeah.
Celebrate each other a little bit and just hang out with those that you enjoy hanging out with.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you can even structure a little bit. Say, hey, let's find three reasons to have this great party.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it.
Yeah.
Definitely dig it.
I like it too. That's a good idea.
We should have a party.
Yeah. Is there a party?
All right. If anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
I think the easiest to remember is I'm on Instagram as Papa Gang, papa.gang, I should say.
G-A-N-G?
Mm-hmm.
Papa. All right.
Papa.gang on Instagram.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
You'll see my other stuff on there too. My pottery, ceramics.
Cool.
Observations.
Nice.
Pictures of Echo and the Bunny Man.
Okay. Well, you heard it right here. Instagram, Papa Gang. We'll include that information in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hey, thanks for bringing me on. This is really great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Good conversation.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking to you.
Good.
This is great.
I enjoyed it as well.
All right.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Jeff for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.